Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
WNYC.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today on the show, we're going to revisit some of our favorite conversations from the past year. Now, there were a lot of them in 2012, obviously too many to fit into an hour. But some moments just stand out, like this.
Well, if I hadn't got a shot in my finger, I would probably still be playing a guitar, but...
All right, now, you can't just say, if I hadn't got shot in my finger. How did you get shot in your finger? Yes, folks, later on the show today, you will hear the story of how one-time guitarist Dr. John got shot in the finger and evolved into the pianist Dr. John. Also, you'll hear him play a song in our studio. And you'll hear the story of the Golden Record, a disc of music and spoken word that NASA launched into space back in 1977 with the hope that someone might find it someday. Future generation of humans, perhaps, or aliens. What will they think of our music? We'll start with the writer Juno Diaz. He won a Pulitzer Prize for his 2008 novel, The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde. His latest is a new collection of short stories called This Is How You Lose Her. The book features a young man named Junior, who was born in the Dominican Republic and grows up in New Jersey, much like the author himself. We asked Juno Diaz to join us back in September and to bring some of his favorite music in for a pick three. This was just a few weeks before he received a MacArthur Fellowship, the so-called Genius Grant, worth $500,000 over 5 years. I started out by asking Juno Diaz, the acclaimed novelist, if he's also a big music fan.
I come from a crazy musical culture, both in Santo Domingo and in Central Jersey, so of course, yeah.
Are you familiar with the Brooklyn indie rock band, The Hold Steady?
No, I am not. Now, see, you flummox me, young man.
Well, now, here's why I ask, because... They put out an album some years ago called Separation Sunday, which was the story of two characters, Holly and Charlemagne. And in subsequent albums, those characters recur, and we get to follow them, you know, through all kinds of misbehaviors and things like that. And it strikes me that Junior is very much that kind of character in your work, a kind of recurring person.
Yeah, he's a perennial, you know, or a perennial, I guess that would be the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, he appears in Drown. He's in Oscar Wilde. He's, you know, sort of telling us what's going on. But here, while he's still narrating, would you say he's an unreliable narrator?
I mean, I think all of them are. You know, rare is the day you get one that isn't. That's the nature of being human,
right?
How unreliable we are. But I think Junior is fundamentally unreliable in a lot of ways that plague him,
mm-hmm,
and others.
The first sentence in the book, This Is How You Lose Her, I'm not a bad guy.
Oh, how many people have heard that one?
Now, how long did it take you to come up with that first sentence?
Well, I just always knew that this would begin the book. There's nothing sort of more just self-pitying and deceptive than that statement. I'm not a bad guy. When somebody says that, run.
Now, you know, in song, very often these days you get the reverse. It's like, I'm a bad dude, you know? I've been in so many fights. I've got so many bullet wounds, you know, whatever it is. Your opening sentence is pretty much the opposite. On the other hand, people have sort of noted that the sound of hip-hop is in your writing. Is that accurate when critics say that?
I don't disagree. I grew up in hip-hop my whole life. It formed my English in many ways. Well, I shouldn't say my whole life. I should say from the age of like 8. So that's pretty much a lot. But, you know, I always think of that opening line more as an R&B opening line because, you know, it's this kind of way Junior's talking slightly, even using this opportunity to exculpate, to sort of be slightly seductive as well. So
right.
Less of a hip-hop braggadocio than an R&B. Let me get another chance to slip
Baby,
in this
I'm
apartment.
Not a bad guy.
You know, even though I was with your three sisters.
Well, now, coming back to hip-hop, in your pick three for us this week, we start in the world of hip-hop with a guy who goes by the name of Leaf, spelled L-E, the number one, letter F. Who is this?
I mean, this is a young cat out of Wesleyan, just an extraordinary MC. Again, a lot of these young kids are out there just throwing these mixtapes together, and, you know, they're making their own videos. This kid got all his little friends together and put this stupendous video together. My goddaughter, who's also from Wesleyan, put me down. She's the one who said, you know, you need to listen to this kid. And then, of course, you know, hip-hop being, like, the most ridiculously, violently heterosexual art form in many ways, this kid is this amazing, openly queer MC, and his skills are just impeccable.
Let's hear Leaf and his tune called What. What it is, what is up, what is what? What it do, what it don't? What it is, what is up, what is what? What it do, what it don't? I'm getting like in my little fist, and I stay getting like until I so hard. I'm pulling like Coco, hello, 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 I'm the one. But people just say I was a teen on the dab, so I started hugging trees and acting like a bastard just to show them who's the new master. Dumb ones thinking I'm from the bush. I hit them with a heat and I'm making most shits. I'm black and I'm proud of my swag pack. Loud like venom, I switched with bubblegum cut. The time takes too slow, I think I'm a switch for the like what's up. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is like,
this kid will break you up,
that
man.
That is supersonic.
Nah, this kid will break you into eight.
Juno Diaz, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wao. His new book out now is called This Is How You Lose Her, and he's got our pick three this week, and that is Leaf with his song called What, W-U-T. In addition to hip-hop, what else do you... I mean, in the book, there's a brief shout-out to Sonic Youth. Bachata, of course, the dance style from the DR is mentioned as well. Presumably, you listen to both of those?
Yeah, I mean, you got to know, I came up in a time before market categories had completely stabilized. Yeah, now, of course, things are breaking up finally. But when, you know, when I was a kid, you could listen to X and you could listen to all the crazy hip hop. You could listen to KRS-One. Yeah. And so I think coming up during the sort of the new wave, we would have New Order on and, you know, Kool Moe Dee. I mean, that's just the way it rolled back then. And now I think the new generation is better than what came between, where people sort of were real orthodox.
Yeah. Do you listen to music when you're writing?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yes, man. I mean, there's two stages. I listen to two kinds of music. I have probably more soundtracks than any human being has or should have. And so when the work is not going well, I don't want to hear words. But when the work is going well, I put a grip of music on. I just need that to kind of, you know, it's the kind of the backbeat, it's the bass, it's the drum.
Hmm. So soundtracks, when you say soundtracks, you mean like film scores and stuff
Man. Yes.
Just for the times where you don't want to hear the words.
Yeah, when things are not going well, which is 99% of the time as a writer.
Yeah, right.
You know?
So when do you listen? I mean, how do you know that this is the time to switch from the soundtrack to...
Oh, I always know when things are going well. I finally feel as if the Titanic has lifted off the nape of my neck.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's the way you know the difference between summer and winter. The energy just changes, and suddenly I'm like,
All right.
Let me put on these tunes.
And what will these tunes be? Give me an example.
There is a wide, wide range. I mean, you know, again, one of the things about being my age is that you depend on all your young kids and friends to get you the new music. So I'll put on Immortal Technique. Yeah.
Hmm.
I'll put on Company Flow. I'll reach back, you know, and sort of put on Big Daddy Kane.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, your pick three for us, and again, we're speaking with the author Juno Diaz, your pick three reaches back. Linton Kwesi Johnson.
Oh, man. Nah, he's something else. That's a titan right there. That is a titan.
You know, his experience as, you know, an immigrant from a Caribbean family growing up in the UK, do you feel a parallel to your own experience?
No question. He reaches me the way few other people do. He made his immigration... He made the fact of how difficult the folks in Britain made it for Caribbeans and for South Asians, because we tend to think of immigration as this one-sided process. But we forget that the nation that's receiving, that requires, that is addicted to the immigrants, can either afflict the immigrants or make things better. And usually we tend to afflict our immigrants that we desperately need. And this song and Lynton Kwesi Johnson does a lot to record that.
Night number one was in Brixton. Soprano B sound system was a beating out a rhythm with a fire. Coming down his reggae, reggae wire. It was a sound shaking down your spinal column. A bad music tearing up your flesh. And the rebels them start of hiding. The youth them just burn high. It's war amongst the rebels.
Five Nights of Bleeding from Lynton Kwesi Johnson, the great reggae poet from the UK. On Juno Diaz, pick three for us this week on Soundcheck. Juno's new book, This Is How You Lose Her, is a collection of short stories all linked around a single character, Junior. As I was reading the stories, Juno, I got the impression that this was almost like a song cycle. I mean, maybe that's too highfalutin, you know, a concept album, you know, where the songs follow a kind of a thread that takes you from the beginning of the album to the end.
That's actually not a bad way to think about it. I actually think the concept album is a better metaphor than the linked short story collection because, you know, in some ways there are forms which allow us to be, say, in a song fully, to enjoy it completely, but then allow us to be fully in an album, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's not a bad way to approach it.
Right. The album.
Yes, the album.
The book is called This Is How You Lose Her. The latest from Juno Diaz is out now. He's sharing his pick three with us this week on Soundcheck. Selena Gonzalez, I have to admit I don't know who she is, and obviously this is someone who's been around for a long time.
What? Yes. Now, you have to understand, this comes sort of out of the, this comes out of the record stacks of my parents' generation.
Okay.
One almost forgets what a huge kind of global community Latin music used to be. So even in a place like Dominican Republic, we would listen to obsessively in the 40s, 50s, and 60s to Mexican and to Cuban performers.
Right. Well, you had Benny Moré and, of course, Celia Cruz. And
sure.
So where is Selena Gonzalez in that pantheon?
She is perhaps one of the greatest voices, one of the greatest early voices to come out of the Caribbean. When I was a kid, this was a person that you would hear belting out from people's houses. And again, it was, even when I was a kid, this was old school stuff.
Mm.
This was the stuff the abuelos would listen to, or people who really liked that old son. And it just, to me, it's this wonderful, wonderful, talented evocation of my childhood.
Con voluntad infinita, arranco del corazón la melodiosa expresión. Nos envíes tu consuelo y tu santa bendición. Que viva Chango, Gabón. Que viva Chango, nadie sigue. Que viva Chango, que viva Chango, señores. Virgen venerada y pura, Santa Bárbara bendita.
Santa Barbara, from the Cuban singer Selena Gonzalez. And an example of some old-school Cuban music from, I guess, Juno Diaz, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author. How old were you when you left the Dominican Republic and went to New Jersey?
Now, I was six. I mean, this song comes out of those early years. I didn't come up in Jersey that much. And, you know, one of the small things to mention is that this is one of those songs that so openly and kind of proudly recognizes the African roots of the Caribbean. You know, because she say the song's called Santa Barbara, but she's talking about the Orisha Chango. And again, it comes together for me in a way that few songs do.
So looking back to the deities of the Yoruba people.
Exactly, exactly.
We're speaking with Juno Diaz. His new book out now is called This Is How You Lose Her. As we were mentioning before, a linked series of stories, a kind of literary concept album around the character of Junior, who has appeared in Juno's work before. Is there, at the end of the day, redemption for someone like Junior?
Yeah, that's actually the question the book asks the reader. I mean, I always like to design these books that are a game that makes the reader participate. And at the end, you have to answer the question whether a dude that has been this bad, this kind of dog, this kind of cheater, but who's struggled profoundly with his desire for love and his desire to do good, mm-hmm. does someone like him
and
get
a... And who's very literate and well-read as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I think even more important, he's compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, after all is said and done, do we grant someone like this a second chance?
Now, do you find yourself drawn to songs that allow the listener in, where you don't need to know exactly what the lyrics mean, but where you feel like your kind of interpretation of those lyrics are just as valid as the songwriter's?
God, that's what's so awesome about the old days before you could look up lyrics. I mean, and awesome about listening to music that you had no idea what was being said.
Yeah.
You know, you would listen to people singing in French and you were like, what? I enjoy the fact that there used to be a time where you would live with a song without any correction from a DJ or any correction from an online source, that you could alter a song to your own perception, to your own understanding. And for many years, that could be the only perception you have. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You have an example of a song that did that for you?
Oh, God, plenty of songs. Man, there's a song that I absolutely love by Bonga called The Child Left Behind, or The Child I Left Behind, where it's being sung in this Angolan Creole. And I had no idea what in the world it was, what was being said. And I didn't want to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to live in that moment of uncertainty.
Yeah.
It was just a way that a song lived with me and I could continually wrestle with it.
Bonga is this amazing sort of Afro-Portuguese singing. I mean, he's from Angola. He's
yep. an
amazing songwriter. I mean, he's been around for a long time, right?
Yeah, man. Really, really brilliant. And, you know, you're just such a good example of what an artist should be.
All right. Well, maybe we'll leave you with a little bit of music from Bongo. We've been speaking with Juno Diaz, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wao. His new book, This Is How You Lose Her, is out now. He's been sharing his pick three with us on Soundcheck. And Juno, real pleasure to have you with us today.
No, thank you so much for having me, bro.
This is Soundcheck.
Aluke nungolo fwa Gamu bingi kiaze Mwene wando kala benyaba Eme ngondo yamye Namona mwenye Suya weza Mona mwenye Kaluga mumba Mona mwenye Suya weza Mona mwenye Aluke nungolo fwa Gamu bingi kiaze Mwene wando kala benyaba Eme ngondo yamye Mona mwenye Sweya weza Mona mwenye
Up next, the story of the Golden Record produced by NASA in the late 1970s, a playlist meant to introduce our civilization to a future generation of humans, or perhaps aliens. And later, a visit from the doctor, Mac Rebinac, better known as Dr. John. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're revisiting some of the great conversations we heard on the show over the past year. Back in September, we heard about the so-called Golden Record. It's on board both Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, the twin spacecraft that NASA launched in 1977 to explore the solar system and eventually head out beyond it. The Golden Disc contained images, text, and greetings in 55 languages.
Здравствуйте, приветствую вас.
สวัสดีค่ะสหายนายธรณีพลพวกเราในธรณีนี้ขอส่งมิตรจิตมาถึงท่านทุกคน
تحياتنا للأصدقاء في النجوم يا ليت يجمعنا الزمان
Salutare la toată lumea
Bonjour tout le monde
Mai la kmia
Shalom
Hola y saludos a todos
Selamat malam hadirin sekalian
selamat berpisah dan sampai bertemu lagi di lain waktu.
Kay pachamatna pitapas maitapas rimapayast runasimip.
Adi diano.
Ashuli, namaskar. Bishe shanti hok.
Salvete qui cumque estis. Bonam erga vos voluntatem abemus et pacem per astra ferimus.
Shalom.
Hartelijke groeten aan iedereen.
Herzliche Grüße an alle.
Assalamu alaikum. Hum zameen ke rehne walon ki taraf se aapko khush aamdeed kehte hain.
Chân thành gửi tới các bạn lời chào thân hữu.
Sayın Türkçe bilen arkadaşlarımız sabah şeriflerinize hayırlı olsun.
Konnichiwa, o genki desu ka?
Dharti ke basiyon ki or se namaskar.
Yehi dai hui an aur akanoizoid.
Tanti auguri e saluti.
Ai buon.
Siyanibingelela maqhawe, sinifisela inkonzo ende. Riyadumelisa marena.
Sonada kaho.
Polor anons, borga katnavin, diezerki mikamazuchu.
But the golden disc overwhelmingly contained music. Anne Drian was the creative director of NASA's Voyager Interstellar Message. Now she's CEO of the Cosmos Studios, which carries on the work of her late husband, the astronomer Carl Sagan. When Anne Drian joined us by phone back in September, I asked her how she got involved in such a quirky, quixotic project like the Golden Record.
Well, you could say quirky or quixotic, or you could say epic, mythic, romantic. I got involved
optimistic.
In optimistic. I got involved in it because it was my honor to know Carl Sagan and Frank Drake. And during the early days of preparation for Voyager, they asked me if I would be the creative director of the project, knowing of my abiding love for all kinds of music. And I think it was kind of a great compliment to and an honor to be asked to do this.
Now, the Golden Record has, as we know, lots of stuff on it. In terms of picking the music, how did you do that? How did you select from an entire planet's worth of music?
Well, no, it's like the supreme act of hubris. You know, people who've really never heard a single piece of Chinese music selecting the one piece from a 2,500-year-long continuous musical tradition to go into eternity. So, you know, we had a very healthy respect for our ignorance. And so Tim Ferriss and I consulted ethnomusicologists, great Alan Lomax, people who really knew their music in a variety of cultures. And it was a kind of, you know, it was a very concerted effort to fill in the blanks for the traditions that we just knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear just a tiny sample of what Anne's talking about. This is from the so-called Golden Record, just a couple of the more than two dozen selections that are hurtling beyond the solar system on Voyagers 1 and 2. Excerpts from the so-called Golden Record that were sent out on the twin spacecrafts Voyager 1 and 2 back in 1977. Traditional pygmy music from Zaire, Mozart's Queen of the Night aria, Johnny B. Goode, of course. And Anne Drian is with me on the line. She was the creative director of NASA's Voyager Interstellar Message. And in terms of, you know, working with Carl Sagan, it was more than just a professional relationship at some point, right? This is where you two met and fell in love?
No, actually we had met years before and, you know, knew each other as colleagues and friends for years. But you're quite right, John. It was during the making of this message to a billion years from now that Carl and I fell madly in love, and we discovered, you know, our feelings for each other, or we were willing to even recognize them, on a phone call in the discussion of that piece of Chinese music, a long-distance phone call. And that was the aperture to 20 years of the most transcendent happiness for the rest of Carl's life. We married and had children, and one of the great things about that record is that my brainwaves, my vital signs, every neurological, electrical impulse that my body could put out was recorded within days of this revelation of our love for each other. And then it was turned into data, compressed into sound, and it's on those two Voyager spacecraft, which are the most distant objects ever touched by human hands, mm-hmm. leaving our solar system, sailing the vast ocean of interstellar space. And so if the engineers and scientists who brilliantly designed the spacecraft and projected a 1,000 million year lifetime mm-hmm. for those records, moving at about 40,000 miles an hour.
The way you describe, your feelings, the beginnings of your relationship with Carl as sort of being woven into the fabric of these records it's so poetic, but on a kind of nuts and bolts level, if I may. Are you talking about the music, the sequencing, that particular Chinese work? Is that the DNA, so to speak, of your relationship that you were talking about?
Well, I think it's all of that, and I think it's also the pale blue dot, which is based on an image taken by Voyager looking back at the solar system just when it was out by Neptune and seeing the true tininess of our world. It's the entire gestalt of the entire experience. It's in there. You know, I think that the first use of the word world music, which is a concept we've all come to embrace, is about the same time as Voyager. In fact, Robert O. Brown, who coined that phrase, he helped us in picking this music. It's about a different kind of cosmic perspective that Carl Sagan articulated more poetically and more clearly than probably anyone else who's ever lived. And the idea that Voyager lives on beyond all of us, beyond the Great Wall of China, beyond the configuration of the continents, Blind Willie Johnson performing Dark Was the Night. That's science, and that's all. That's the best we have to offer as human beings. And no matter how we mess up things here, there's some small consolation that those two spacecraft will carry within them some of the greatest aspects of being alive in the beautiful spring of 1977.
We're speaking with Anne Drian, who was the creative director of NASA's Voyager Interstellar Message Project, the so-called Golden Record. And as Anne has told us, this song, very special to her and to Carl Sagan, the astronomer and astrophysicist working with her on the project. The Chinese piece known as Flowing Streams, performed on the qin, a traditional Chinese instrument, by Quan Pinghu. From the Golden Record, streaming out of our galaxy aboard Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, launched by NASA in 1977, We're speaking with Anne Drian, who was creative director of the Interstellar Message Project of NASA's Voyager, and she's also CEO of the Cosmos Foundation, carrying on the work of her late husband, the astronomer Carl Sagan. And Anne, did you ever ask yourself in the course of this project, what if some alien race out there eventually does find this record? What will they think of us?
Well, of course, you know, we thought about this day and night. You know, really, we wondered whether we should show the worst of ourselves, our violence, our poverty, our ignorance. We wondered if we should just put our best foot forward and try to, you know, put on a good face to the cosmos. And in the end, I think we realized that, you know, we're not such great liars. There are aspects of our personality that will come through no matter what we tell about ourselves. So we might as well just send what we think of as the best of ourselves. I just wanted to correct one minor thing, and that is it's not leaving the galaxy. That would be...
No. You're right. Yeah, that's not a minor. That's a major. It's leaving the solar system.
Leaving the solar system, right.
Right. So it's been 35 years, Anne, since the launch of Voyager 1 and 2. We've just, you know, we've seen NASA land Curiosity, the rover on Mars. If you had the chance, if NASA came calling and said, we're sending something out, you know, as far as we can, would you do it differently? Was there something that you were just dying to include on the Golden Record that you weren't able to do or, you know, anything like that?
I think we would do it differently. I think there are, you know, there are a lot of different things that we would change, we would add, because, you know, after all, nobody's perfect, and we gave it our best shot back in 1977, and, you know, we've learned, I hope we've learned things since then. I'm very proud of Voyager. You know, I think that that as a labor of love, it stands up very well, and so I'm not renouncing any part of it, but I'm just saying that, you know, obviously there are so many more things we'd like to include. I was lucky enough to be at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory the night of the Curiosity landing several weeks ago, and it was that electric thrill that went through everyone there. That feeling that, yes, you know, we have our problems, but look at what these little human beings on this tiny pale blue dot can actually accomplish. You know, we can do very difficult things. And I think that that's one of the byproducts of the space program, both unmanned and manned. Much greater than Tang and Teflon and some of the other things that, you know, people talk about is the idea that we are still aspiring to do things that our ancestors could not have even dreamed of. And so I just want to say that I think that NASA has really done an amazing job. And the idea that there's room in a bureaucratic government administration for the romance of the Voyager record and all that it contains says something very, very good about NASA and about our civilization, I think, too.
And it was, in fact, a kind of romantic concept, sending these golden records out into the cosmos. Andrian was the creative director of NASA's Voyager Interstellar Message back in 1977. She was the co-writer of the original Cosmos series with her late husband, the astronomer Carl Sagan. And she's also the co-writer and executive producer of the new Cosmos series coming next year, Anne?
We haven't announced our air date, but I'm producing it with Seth MacFarlane and some others. It's going to star Neil deGrasse Tyson as our host narrator. And it will be 13 hours on Fox and National Geographic, and we are completely thrilled.
Well, Anne, I know that you have to get back to the JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, a busy day for you, but thank you so much for taking some time to look back with us. It's really been a pleasure having you with us.
It's been so good talking with you, John. Thank you so much for having me.
This is Soundcheck.
Mm-hmm.
That's Blind Willie Johnson and Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground, one of the songs contained on the Golden Record. You can find out more about the Golden Record and its complete playlist on soundcheck.org. Coming up, Dr. John teamed up this year with Dan Auerbach for what might be one of his best records. It's called Locked Down, and we'll hear some of it as we revisit our session with Dr. John.
This old age, better check out your personal style. Swallow the silver dollar, now you got nothing to hide.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today we're looking back at some of our favorite moments on the show from the past year. That includes this conversation with the blues pianist and all-around New Orleans music legend, Mac Rebenack, better known as Dr. John. He joined me a few weeks before this album, Locked Down, was released. You'll hear me call it forthcoming or the next album, but it's been out for a while now. In fact, it earned a Grammy nomination for Best Blues Album. One other notable fact, Locked Down was produced by Dan Auerbach of the blues rock band The Black Keys. Auerbach assembled a band and a set of sounds that were as eclectic as Dr. John himself, and when Mac Rebenack joined me back in March, I started by asking him if he was aware of Dan Auerbach before working with him on Locked Down.
Well, my granddaughter had turned me on to his record, and after that, I listened to it, and I liked it. And it was weird because sometime after that, it seems like he came to New Orleans. We got together for a super jam,
mm-hmm.
and then after that, we did we did the record, and really, it was a really cool band.
Mm-hmm. This jam session, this happened at the Bonnaroo Festival, right?
That's correct.
Which is sort of named after one of your earlier records.
Well, it was, yes, they took the name from Desitively Bonnaroo.
Desitively Bonnaroo. Can I ask what that means?
Well, no, I'm not going to say it because I'm mad at this festival for never giving me or Jesse Hill a nickel for using that name.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
Jesse Hill being your...
He was my former business partner, and him and me and Alvin Robinson and mm-hmm. Dave Dixon used to write a lot of songs together.
Right. With this, the forthcoming record, Locked Down, did you write these all yourself? Did Dan Auerbach, was he involved in that end of things too?
Well, I wrote the lyricals, and Dan and all the guys in the band, we all put something together to make good tracks
mm-hmm.
that felt, and I love the fact that the first track that felt right, we ran with it.
Mm. So one take, just do it.
As soon as we got it all,
mm-hmm.
bam, that was it. All right, next case. I love doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you're at our piano. Big Shot is one of the songs from the forthcoming record, and I know on the record it's the full band, and Dan Auerbach of Black Keys is manning the console. It's a nice big production, but you got a stripped-down solo piano version to play for us?
All right.
This is Dr. John on Soundcheck.
I know you're holding, but hold it down. Don't oversell it, you can hang around. Ain't never been done like I can. Ain't never gonna be done again. Ain't stuck up, don't put on no airs. Fuss and cuss, I never split hairs. Never was, ain't never gonna be another big shot like me. I'm the big shot, laying in the cut for you to see. Let's me and you go off somewhere, child. I do your thing in my own kind of style. If I don't kill you, I'm sure to kill ya. Got the remedy that's sure to heal ya. Ain't never was, ain't never gonna be another big shot like me.
I'm the big shot, laying in a cut for you to see. If you don't follow that ratty second line pile, snatch you up, light you up, make you smile. If you stalled at the wall, gonna be bald with style. Send you to the precinct for larder and child. Gold diggers, money wasters, that's my group. Hey child, who is you? I'm the big shot. Turn you on, shut them off, that's right. Saturate you when I signify. Fragile child, handle you with care. I can rough and tough it if you like it that. Ain't never was, ain't never gonna be another big shot like me. I'm the big shot, laying in a cut for you to see. I'm the big shot, laying in a cut for you to see.
That is Dr. John live on Soundcheck with a song called Big Shot, which will be on his next record to be called Locked Down, produced by the Black Keys' Dan Auerbach. And Dr. John, Mac Rebenack, is with me in the Soundcheck studio. Mac, you put out an album about 30 years ago called Mac Rebenack. Is it Mac Rebenack plays Dr. John or Dr.
Right.
John? Yeah, it's Mac Rebenack.
Whatever
plays,
whatever. I'm the worst with remembering this.
But what struck me about that was the idea of these two different sides of your persona. You know,
right.
Mac Rebenack, who writes the stuff, and Dr. John, who plays it. Is that how you delineate who's who?
Well, I tell people a lot of time, they ask me, are you Dr. John? And I said, when I'm working, I'm Dr. John. When I'm off, which is right now, I ain't.
The album is full of kind of a younger generation of musicians. How different a sound did you get from working with a new crew like this?
Well, I really appreciated that Dan brought in a crew of guys. But he brought a drummer in that lived in Ethiopia for a while. And he's a German guy, but he lived in Ethiopia for a while. And the guy really had this thing of a lot of African rhythms that I like. It was just, that felt good to me. In fact, I liked sitting at the studio. We'd order out some Ethiopian food.
Really?
And, yeah, I can even eat their bread. My diet is weird, but it's made with the grass, and it's. Mm. But I loved, hanging out, and we'd listen to some Ethiopian jazz while we were doing the record.
You know, there's a track on the record called Revolution, and when I first heard that, I thought, the horns, especially on this track, sound just like that Ethiopian pop and jazz of the early 1970s, what they call the golden age of Addis Ababa.
Right.
The capital. Was that intentional? Were you going for that sound?
I mean, you know what? I don't think we directly was thinking of one thing, but we just made things and shifted stuff around till we found something that laid right. Mm-hmm. And I loved that Dan was open enough to roll with some of the stuff that was really off the hook a little bit, but I loved it.
Hmm. Let's hear a little bit. This is from the album Locked Down, and it's called Revolution, music from Dr. John.
Stone confusion. Prepare yourself. let's all just pray on it right now.
Just a little bit from Dr. John's forthcoming record, Locked Down, produced by Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, and featuring Dr. John, Mac Rebenack, who's with me in the studio, on organ here. Is this a Farfisa organ?
Yes, it is. And prior to the one that Dan had in his studio in Nashville, I hated the instrument. I used to work with, like, subbing for Augie Myers with Doug Sam's band, Sir Douglas Quintet.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even play it other than on Doug's hits and on the gigs. And I would go play the piano on the rest of the gig. I just hated the instrument. And but Dan had one I actually really dug.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're very hard to find these days, the genuine Farfisa organs. I guess they weren't made so well, and a lot of them have kind of fallen into disrepair. So... What made you think that that was the right sound for this song?
Well, we used it on some tracks, and I just felt like playing that. I was playing his old Fender Rhodes or whatever instruments he had around it. And like that in a Fender Rhodes piano, I had grew to hate him at Doc Palmas's when we were writing together, because he had one in his pad. And of course, when Doc passed, he willed me that piano.
The Fender Rhodes.
Yeah.
You and Doc Palmas, you wrote songs together for a long time. Must have been close to 20 years or so, right?
We wrote a whole gang and a half of songs, yeah.
We could talk the whole darn night away, 'cause we got so much to say. And I could talk. Climb a mountain high or walk a valley deep, or we could get stoned and fall off a lover's leap. We could talk the whole darn night away, 'cause we got so much to say.
Song Dance the Night Away with You, a song co-written by Dr. John, who's here, and Doc Palmas, who of course isn't. Just one of the many collaborations the two songwriters worked on together over two decades. Dr. John, the musical legend from New Orleans, born Mac Rebenack. And Mac, how does music traditionally get passed down in New Orleans?
I studied guitar, and I had great guitar teachers, A.J. Gorman, and I had Walter Papoose Nelson, who played with Fats Domino, and I had Roy Montrell was my last and longest guitar teacher, and who turned me on to flamenco music and a lot of other stuff. Whatever came to the Loyola Fieldhouse, he would bring me there. And it was just, like, special.
And so how did you make... How did you come from being a guitarist, someone who actually studied guitar, to playing piano when you hadn't studied that, really?
Well, if I hadn't got a shot in my finger, I would probably still be playing a guitar, but the kicks, to me, was...
All right, now, you can't just say, if I hadn't got shot in my finger. How did you get shot in your finger?
Well, Ronnie Barron, the singer with my band at the time, was getting pistol whipped by this guy who was a lottery guy in Jacksonville, Florida. And I was fighting with the guy to get the gun out of his hand. And I was hitting it on the bricks. And I thought my hand was over the handle. It was over the barrel. Mm. And bam. And my finger was hanging off by skin. And I put a little hurt on the guy. And
but lost the tip of, is it the ring finger?
No, I didn't lose any of the finger. They sewed it back on. Mm-hmm. But it was like,
yes,
it's bent.
This is this is not TV, it's radio, but I can tell you folks, it's sewed on, and it looks like it's sewed on.
It was a sewed-on job in 1960 when that was what they could do.
Yeah. So the left hand is so important in the piano. You know, that's where the stride, mm-hmm. that's where the boogie-woogie happens, that's where the rhythm comes from.
Right.
So how does that affect your playing?
Well, I hope not too bad. I do the best I can. Mm-hmm. You know, I love playing music. That's the thing that I think carries me on to whatever it is.
Title track from Dr. John's latest album, Locked Down, which is now nominated for a Grammy in the Best Blues Album category. I spoke with Dr. John, Mac Rebinac, this past March, and you can hear the full conversation on our website, soundcheck.org. Tune in tomorrow for our first Blind Date of 2013. Our occasional segment sets you up on a radio date with a band we think you're gonna love. Our guest tomorrow is the band Nightbeds. We'll hear their responses to our blind date questionnaire, and they'll play live in the studio. Our theme song, Eagle Rock, was composed by keyboardist Marco Benevento. You can find out more about Marco on our website. While you're there, check out podcasts, videos, my blog, and more, all at soundcheck.org. That does it for today's show. Thanks for listening. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck. Don't point no finger at me like you do. No fear, damn it, right back at you.